Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I was going to roll the Sonny Hostin clip from The View, but I think Jesse Waters has it right here in this portion of his segment on Jesse Waters primetime last night.
Not only did Trump defeat Kamala and Biden, he defeated identity politics. DEI is dead. But the reverend is skipping the funeral.
We've got to be honest. Among Hispanic men and black men, there's a lot of misogyny. And I think that we've got to deal with the reality that he appealed to this whole false macho thing that some black men and some Latino men went for.
The Democrats lied to you, and then they made you feel bad about yourself for not swallowing the lie. All Donald Trump did was listen and not write you off. Campaigning with a celebrity security blanket, what was it, Bruce, Beyonce, Oprah? Maybe not the best look when the country can't afford groceries and rent. Kamala met with Liz Cheney more than she met with her own sisters.
There are 9 HBCUs in North Carolina. Do you know how many of them she visited? 1. Imagine if she'd been spending time doing that instead of hanging out with Liz Cheney in the Midwest. Could have been a different story tonight.
Kamala took blacks for granted, pandered to them, made Barack scold them. Same thing with Hispanics. Yeah, she didn't call them tacos like Jill, but you need more than J-Lo.
Look, Hispanic voters are swing voters, and I think, you know, what's interesting here is the Republican Party treated them the same way they treated white working-class voters. They courted them the same way they treated white working-class voters. The Democratic Party has spent a lot of time treating it as an identity group, and I think we're starting to see sort of a working-class coalition start to drift to the right.
Democrats were already having a problem with the white working class. And now they have a problem with the white, black, and brown working class. But black and brown people aren't the only ones getting scolded. White women got a tongue lashing too.
Why do you think that uneducated white women voted against their reproductive health freedoms? And why do you think Latino men voted in favor of someone that's going to deport, says he's going to deport the majority of his community?
I don't think white women like being called uneducated white women. I think the economy matters, national security matters. But when you put people in these boxes, I think that's a takeaway from this race.
Man, if you heard Joycey in Rockville, as she just said exactly what that woman just told Sonny Hostin.
Well, that's exactly right. Joycey was exactly right with that. And then notice what Chuck Todd just said there was exactly what I just said at the end of the last hour, which is the whole, like, Democrats got to stop defining people by their race and their sex and then saying, hey, you're this race, you're this sex. That means you politically believe X, Y, Z. No. What Chuck Todd said is exactly what I said. No. Latinos, they're American citizens. Black American, they're American. The white people, they're American. Asians, they're American. They all care about the same things, which is inflation, economy, low crime, boys are boys, girls are girls. By the way, Tim Sheehy, that campaign slogan that he had where he gets that riff where he lays out like
five. Great?
That's the greatest campaign slogan I've ever heard in my... I think it's the greatest political campaign slogan in a generation.
Boys are boys, girls are girls, cops are good, criminals are bad. It really is. It's a great...
It's fantastic.
Boom. It was just such a great slogan and message. Never got tired of hearing it.
I never got tired of it.
This may be the best woke update yet, David. DEI is dead. Maybe identity politics is dead along
Maybe
with
Maybe the woke update is dead.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. 30 years without parole, that's the sentence in federal prison for David DePapp, the man convicted of attacking Paul Pelosi with a hammer. He's the husband of former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. A San Francisco jury found DePapp guilty of charges, including aggravated kidnapping, first-degree burglary, and false imprisonment of an elder. Paul Pelosi was 82 years old at the time of the attack. After the sentence, the Pelosi family characterized the legal process as grueling and said that, quote, justice had been served. DePapp attacked Pelosi on October 28, 2022. The attack was captured on a police body camera just days before the midterm election. He suffered head wounds, including a skull fracture that was mended with plates and screws. DePapp is a Canadian citizen who had been living in the U.S. for years. He admitted during his federal trial that he planned to hold Nancy Pelosi hostage, document the interrogation, and break her knees if she didn't admit to what he termed lies about the Russian election interference investigation in 2016. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies across the area for today, high temperature readings will range from the upper 40s in Bozeman to about 53 in Billings. Staying clear and quiet tonight, upper 20s and low 30s. And then the outlook for Friday calls for sunshine. High at about 52 in Bozeman, with highs around 60 expected in the Billings vicinity. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Hey.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I've got so many great messages that have come in on our Montana Talks app in the last few minutes and the last 24 hours, but let me go with a couple of that tie in with what we've been talking about in the last couple of minutes here. Anton in Billings says this: good morning, Aaron. John 3:16 is all the DEI we really need. Anton, thanks for that message. And then Evan and Belt, you know, we heard the woman's view just a few minutes ago. Joycey in Rockville says, I'm so sick of being lectured about, because I'm a woman, this is how I'm supposed to vote. Evan and Belt says, I'm really getting tired of being accused of being a misogynist. We will likely have a female president at one point, you know, hopefully we can find one whose husbands are more interested in their wives instead of their interns and their nannies, and are more interested in the people of this country instead of glass ceilings or coming from a middle-class family. That's what Evan and Belt had to say. But yeah, diversity, equity, inclusion, the woke agenda. Could identity politics itself be crumbling right before our very eyes? I sure hope so, David. I sure hope so.
What's so awesome about this is we were already seeing a trend amongst corporate boardrooms and corporate CEOs of not mentioning DEI as much, not mentioning some of that stuff as much. Canceling entire departments. You've seen that sort of trend happening even before this election. And so now, with this election, where a majority of Americans have outright rejected this radical left-wing wokeism, this is our chance. This is our moment now to take this and to further that trend and to go to all of these private organizations and your workplace and your employer and everywhere else and start pushing back on this radical left-wing politics that the Democrats have trying to been pushing into our corporate boardrooms and everywhere else and in our schools. This is our moment.
The Billings Chamber of Commerce.
Exactly.
So now, DEI.
We have the opportunity to go to all of these places and say, look, this was already a bad idea. You guys knew it was a bad idea a long time ago. This trend is away from this stuff. But now look, now a clear majority of Americans rejected this. A huge majority of Montanans reject it. Get this stuff out. Get this crap out of our private organizations. Get this stuff out of our schools. We want traditional values.
All right. We got a couple of other messages here on the Montana Talks app. First, when Nancy and Roundup called in, you could just hear the passion. You could hear the tears as she was just so joyful following the election results. Andy and Whitefish says, God bless Nancy. Andy in Bozeman, I fully echo Nancy's heartfelt comments from this morning. Sandy in Billings says, tell Nancy I love listening to her calls to Montana Talks. She's always prepped and has a point. And Marcus in Nye, I want to thank you, Aaron, for your Montana Talks media forum. This is one of the truly free medias left, as we found out during the election how tainted our local TV stations were. They will die as more people find news outlets that aren't fake news. Thank you, Marcus and Nye. Let's go to Kevin in Billings. Kevin, what's on your mind?
Well, Aaron, I think we've put the world on notice, especially
you know, the world and the powers that be here in the United States, and perhaps the powers that be in the world. I think we put them on notice, as a matter of fact. I wonder, maybe that's why they took forever counting ballots, is because we put the world on notice. What do you think?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think that's certainly a reason why some media outlets were so slow to call some of the races, is because it was really hard for them to report the news that Tim Sheehy defeated John Tester, because they were so in the bag for John Tester, for example.
Oh, not just that. Just, you know, the Wisconsin race, Pennsylvania, that took forever. But I'm also, I didn't have a chance to check, did CI-126, I hope that did not pass. I looked at it yesterday.
Both CI-126 and CI-127 failed, which, David Noble, were you surprised that those failed? Because they had so much money backing those. I mean, what a miracle, and some good strategy on behalf of the GOP coming in a little later in the game to help defeat that, I think, too.
I guess I wasn't surprised.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, here, let's get David's take, and then I'll come back to you, Kevin, in just a second.
I wasn't surprised, but because I had done my own research into both of those CIs, and they were just so obviously disastrous. So not only did ranked choice voting fail in Montana, but Alaska overturned ranked choice voting,
and there were
other results nationwide where ranked choice voting has failed.
That's great. I didn't know that. Yeah, because I remember, you know, the opponents of CI-126 would say, hey, these places that already put it in place, they're trying to get rid of it.
Right.
Alaska got rid of it. That's great. Now, can we get rid of Murkowski and so anyway, all right. Yeah, Kevin, your thoughts.
Yeah, I'm very glad. I don't know if you got a chance to, Aaron, but I did a whole dissertation on...
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to listen to it. I didn't get a chance to listen to it, but I know it's on your Rocky Mountain Freedom Zone podcast.
Yes, and I'm going to be updating it again this weekend, but I am disappointed that 128 passed. I'm surprised that passed, given how conservative Montana is.
Yeah.
Why that passed.
Yeah, no, there's so many people that are so just heartbroken over that one. In fact, Maria in Bozeman sent me an email yesterday. Do you think Montanans who voted for CI-128 truly understand that they just enshrined partial birth abortions and gender reassignment surgery without parental consent? David, when 128 passed, there was so much money. The language was so deceptively written. I think... My initial response was, forgive them, for they know not what they have done. That was my response. I don't think people knew exactly what they were signing off on by voting for that.
Nope, and we just got to do everything we can at the legislative level, at the governor level, at the AG level, everywhere we can. We've got to do what we can to try to stop that, because you're right about that, and Montana is now going to be a attracting ground where all the people that want abortions from the entire Northwest region are all going to come to Montana to get their late-birth abortions.
It's really sick what they pushed with CI-128 and how deceptive.
The Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
With President-elect Trump's huge victory, a flood of leaks is coming from the Kamala Harris camp, also known as the blame game. For example, Joe Biden. Why didn't the president get out of the race sooner? Why did he run for re-election at all, given his mental condition? Other Democrats, and these are all unnamed sources, saying it's Kamala Harris's fault. Why didn't she separate herself from the unpopular president? Why couldn't she come up with a single thing that she would do differently? Meanwhile, the media, the day after, grappling with something they did not expect to happen. Many had openly rooted for the vice president, thought that she would win. And not only did they botch the election prediction, which in light of the flawed polls is understandable, they really misjudged the country. And Peter Baker of the New York Times said, this shows that Trump is no longer an apparition. This is Trump's America. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies across the area for today. High temperature readings will range from the upper 40s in Bozeman to about 53 in Billings. Staying clear and quiet tonight, upper 20s and low 30s. And then the outlook for Friday calls for sunshine. High at about 52 in Bozeman, with highs around 60 expected in the Billings vicinity. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Put a frog in boiling water and it'll jump right out. But put a frog in cool water and slowly heat it up, that frog will boil. As veterans, we tell ourselves the lie that we can handle anything. We let the water boil. You are not a frog. If you or a veteran you know needs support, don't wait. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
September U.S. pork and beef exports were higher year over year. That's all according to data from USDA. Pork exports are well positioned to set volume and value records this year, with September pork exports totaling over 238,000 metric tons, up 8% from last year, while value climbed 6% to $685 million. Pork exports through September were on a record pace to Mexico, as are shipments to Central America, Colombia, and several Caribbean markets. Through the first three quarters of this year, pork exports were 5% above last year's pace at 2.3 million metric tons, with the value 7% higher at $6.36 billion. As for U.S. beef exports, it reached over 103,000 metric tons in September, up 5% year over year, while export value rose 6% to just over $843 million. January through September exports increased 5% in value to $7.82 billion, despite volume dropping by 2% to just over 960,000 metric tons. Speaking of beef, this week at Miles City Livestock Commission, over 3,000 head of cattle went through the ring, and there was a lower trend for feeder steers and heifers. The 5 to 5.5 weight steers brought a price of 301 to 326, 5.5 to 6 weights 282 to 308. I'm Lane Nordland.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble, I had another great email here. I told you about the one from Maria in Bozeman. This one comes from the Disney family in Libby, and they raise a very good point about CI 128 here. And I think we got Mike and Big Timber on the phone lines, who we'll get to here in a second, wants to talk about the same topic. But anyway, the Disney family says this: "Hey, Aaron, thanks for your fine coverage. I can't tell you how sad and disappointed we are regarding the passage of CI 128. That being said, is there any way to appeal or overturn this? We remember when you had Rob Nadelson on and him saying how awful the language is in this initiative. Is there such grounds for appeal? Could you bring him back on the show to enlighten us?" Anyway, if I recall, I need to go back and look at – I could probably read the transcript from when we had him on the show, and I did a story about it for our website. But I believe he did say that actually there is a way that this could be overturned, because they're doing more than one thing in this initiative. Now, CI 126 and CI 127 were effectively to support the same thing. They wanted to push ranked choice voting. But the reason they broke them into CI 126 and CI 127 was because you can't do more than one thing with one ballot initiative. So I think there is an argument here. But, of course, we still have liberal courts in Montana, so they'll try to just, nothing to see here, folks.
So I went to the Yellowstone County Republican meeting last night. We heard from some of our legislators here in Yellowstone County about what bills they're going to be presenting. I guess if you're a sitting legislature and you're not up for election, you're able to file bills before the election, I guess, is my understanding. And so some legislators have already been, like, filing bills for the upcoming sessions.
Yeah, yep.
But obviously people that just won election for the first time didn't have that ability. So we had our veteran legislator speak last night, and then some people from the crowd, too. And I'm telling you, Aaron, there's a lot of people out there that are very, very concerned with the fact that you can change our Constitution with a simple 50% vote plus one, which is egregious.
It is.
And it's absurd. And so I don't know specifically about, frankly, we ought to do a number of different amendments to our Constitution. We ought to not just amend the and I don't know if the 50% plus one is a constitutional thing or a statutory thing. I'm assuming that's constitutional. That should be amended to require 60-65% of the vote. We should do a whole bunch of constitutional amendments. There's other ways to amend the Constitution other than CIs. If I was king, I'd be looking at a lot of changes to the Montana Constitution. Obviously, getting rid of of any language that could be construed as a right to abortion, clarifying that it's actually the legislature in our state that gets to decide election laws, not the third branch of government. There's a whole bunch of things we ought to fix in our state constitution. That being those two things.
Maybe it's time for another Montana Constitutional Convention. How cool would it be to have a lawyer like David Noble and some of these other great minds, legal minds, political minds across the state of Montana. Montana's changed a lot since the 1970s. Maybe we should do a Montana Constitutional Convention. And that's one of the changes that I think should be made. This idea that with a simple mob majority, you can amend the Constitution, you should have to get a supermajority. You should have, in order to amend the Constitution.
We always like to say, hey, we're a republic, not a democracy. Well, actually, in Montana, we're kind of a pure democracy. If you can just have a simple majority just change the Constitution, how is that not mob rule, pure democracy? That's not a republic. Well,
but not only look at our legislative makeup. Okay, so why don't counties get the state senators and then have the state house based off of population? But right now, it's just all based off of population. And so anyway, it's interesting. But also, when it comes, think about if the tables were turned here, David and Mike and Big Timber. We'll get to you here in a second, I promise. But I don't want to lose this train of thought here, especially as we've got a lawyer like David in the house with us here. Think about if the tables were turned here. If it was the opposite here, and Montana voters just outlawed abortion, the Montana Supreme Court would throw the vote out. They would say, nope, that's unconstitutional. We're not allowing Montana voters to change the Constitution. Why do I know that they would do that? Because they've done it before. When Montana voters passed an initiative that said you should have parental consent before getting an abortion, the Montana Supreme Court overruled the popular vote of Montana voters on a ballot initiative. Now, here's the other thing. These people are so phony and they lack any principle whatsoever. What have they used to justify no limits abortion already in Montana? The Armstrong decision. Well, the Armstrong decision has no standing because Armstrong was based on Roe. Roe already got thrown out by the Montana Supreme Court. So now they were able to use CI 128 to get abortion enshrined in the Constitution. And so all they were doing was propping up the Armstrong decision, right, which was a flawed, it should have been thrown out. But they used it in the meantime until they could get CI 128 thrown in there. Anyway, there's
doesn't
such
that just show how disingenuous they are?
Yeah, but they don't care because the ends justify the means with these people. That's how twisted they are. Fired up now, aren't we?
You're fired
up.
Oh,
I'm fired up right now. I mean, I wish we'd have had the microphones on in that last 60 seconds.
It's embarrassing for Montana to have
really
passed
is.
Abortion when all those other red states declined it.
Yeah, it's and again, that's why my reaction when CI 128 passed. Well, okay, well, let me just stop there because I want to get to Mike and Big Timber on this topic. And then I think that rant that I just did over the last 60 seconds is something that David and I need to talk about on the air with you as well here, because this ties in with a big national news story and a question. Why did other states kill something like CI 128, including our neighbors, and Montana did not? But first, let's go to Mike and Big Timber. Mike, hey, thanks for calling in. What's your thoughts?
Well, first of all, don't leave us in the dark, guys. I want to hear what you were talking about in the last 60 seconds.
We'll get to it.
This was an initiative. Does that mean that the legislature and the people in the government have to actually write the amendment to the Constitution? In other words, draw it up so it does what the initiative says? Is it kind of a two-step process, or is it automatic now that there's an amendment to the Constitution?
So some of them are, and 126 and 127 specifically said if this passes, then the legislature has to implement it. I think with 128, there was already I think the constitutional amendment was already written. What I don't know is, like, a lot of times with constitutional amendments, like, frankly, the 14th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution says, hey, we're amending it, and then at the bottom it'll have a provision that says, like, the legislature. Congress or whoever, is empowered to, implement this provision. I just haven't looked at 128 closely enough to know if there's some provision in the actual amendment that requires the legislature to do anything.
I'm trying to find here. Yeah, Mike, did you have a follow-up or another comment?
Well, a quick question and a comment, actually. Will you be replacing George on Friday? You know what you ought to do? You ought to have some guest callers come in and substitute guest host for George.
Well, that's a good question. What are we going to do about Freedom Friday?
That's so sad. I was genuinely sad when I heard that George had moved.
That's why I waited like 4 weeks to finally drop the news that, yeah, George moved to Texas, so he won't be joining us for Freedom Friday any longer. But Freedom Friday continues with our callers. I mean, even when George was here for Freedom Friday, we took phone calls. So Freedom Friday is you. It's all of us. George was just such an incredible part of that Freedom Friday conversation. But yeah, David, we're just lucky enough to have David here every Thursday at 7. He's got a busy day job, or he'd probably be with us 4 hours a day every day if he could.
Because I love it.
Yeah.
But actually, I went to law school because I love politics and so much.
Yeah. So thedailycaller.com has this headline: Victory for Life. Red states hold off pro-abortion sweep in ballot initiatives. Pro-life groups, one in Florida, Nebraska, and neighboring South Dakota. So why not in Montana? That was part of what David and I kind of discussed in that 60 seconds off air. So let's start there right after this, David. We'll try not to get distracted by another squirrel and talk about another topic.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Okay, let's lighten up the mood here just a second before we go heavy on the big topics of the day here for just a second again. David, what were you telling me? So I didn't even listen to one soundbite from Kamala Harris's speech yesterday when she finally spoke at, you know, one of the colleges I attended, Howard University. I did 2 years at Howard and I did 2 years at the University of Montana. But
hey, hold on. No, you can't leave your listeners hanging. What were we talking about during that 60 second break?
Well, we're going to get to it.
Oh,
but first, a moment of levity.
I said during that last break, I said, hey, Aaron, did you see that squirrel ran across the stage at Kamala Harris's concession speech? And then you had a hilarious
comment. It's so Howard University campus, it's a beautiful campus. I was telling David a little of the history of Howard University, but you know, there's lots of trees there. So yeah, so a squirrel runs across the stage while Kamala Harris is speaking.
It was before she spoke, but
it was the ghost of Peanut the Squirrel. The ghost of Peanut the Squirrel has crossed the stage. How ironic is that?
How
that government overreach went in and several agents had to go kill Peanut the Squirrel. It was such a symbol of government overreach and the insanity in this country. So, yeah, how symbolic is that? That a squirrel, the ghost of Peanut the Squirrel, crossing the stage at Howard University.
Okay, so Aaron, tell us, why is it that all of those other red states did not vote for abortion, and yet Montana, a very red state, 20-point Trump win or whatever it was. Why did we vote for abortion?
Yeah, so this is the question I have here. DailyCaller.com, victory for life. Red states hold off pro-abortion sweep in ballot initiatives. But, you know, Montana is very clearly a red state. Look at the Republican sweep that we just had. So why did CI-128 pass?
Here, let me get you fired up because you were fired up during the
break. I was very fired up.
Aaron, you got me joking about Peanut the Squirrel. All right, let me get you fired up again there. Aaron, how did you fail so badly? Montana supports abortion. What are you conservatives in Montana doing? How did you Montana conservatives fail so bad?
Let me throw another one on here. North Dakota voters defeated measures to legalize recreational marijuana and axe the property tax. They're getting rid of property tax
in
North Dakota.
Did that actually pass?
That passed. They are outlawing most local property taxes. And they're making it harder for citizens to change the state constitution there. Weren't we just talking about that one?
Amazing.
So back to this why in the world does a neighboring state, why do these other red states hold off a pro-abortion ballot initiative and it gets across the finish line in Montana? I think there's a couple of things going on here, David. One is, I think, you know, we've got more of a libertarian streak here in Montana, likely than maybe some of these even other red states. And libertarian is a good thing, but even libertarians are pro-life, right? I truly think that what happened here, what I want to see the language of these initiatives in some of these other states, because I think that at the end of the day, you called out this CI-128 from day one. You said, look, they are using deceptive language to get this thing on the ballot. And then the Supreme Court injected themselves into the process and put deceptive language on the ballot. I think swing voters were thinking, okay, they didn't want to outlaw abortion altogether, but they believe that there should be a limits. And so I think that a lot of these voters thought they were limiting abortion but still allowing it to be legal.
Right, because the language specifically says something about the legislature can regulate it and all this stuff.
Yeah, and so what you and I talked about during that 60-second Fox News update is that I want to go see the other language, because you raised a good question. If the language that was approved by Attorney General Austin Knutson and Montana Secretary of State Christy Jacobson was on the ballot instead of the language that this left-wing mob on the Montana Supreme Court forced to be on the ballot, would Montanans have known what they were actually voting for and what they were actually voting against? And then would we have had a chance to actually defeat CI-128 if so?
And I think what you saw here is similar to what you saw when Kansas voted on it, I think, in 2022 and voted for abortion, which is there was a massive amount of left-wing spending saying that if you don't vote for this, then it's a complete ban on abortion, a.k.a. just propaganda lies from this left-wing money pot from George Soros. But there was no – where the right-wing billionaires running multi-million-dollar, $100 million campaigns against CI-128 telling the truth about it?
Well, it sounds like they were in other states. That was the thing. It was like, where's the big money on our side? Because the big money on their side was all over this state, and it was just disgusting to see and to hear. Let's go to – I hope Tamara in Billings is still on the phone lines. I know but everybody's so interested in what happened with CI-128. I know we wanted to dedicate some time to that. But, Tamara, I hope you're still there. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, I am. I got one quick question, then my statement. Does the Montana Supreme Court still have liberal leanings, or are we on an even keel now? And my statement, we can't relax on this mainstream media. They're going to rev up some more. They're going to find some slick-willed candidates. They're going to continue to get outside money in and lie, 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 just like they did on Betty Gary.
You're exactly right. So well said all across the board. Yeah, unfortunately, so she's referring to the Montana Supreme Court elections. We went one for one. We were already in the hole, so we needed two seats, and then we still needed to be able to swing another down the road. But we did pick up the Chief Justice with Corey Swanson being elected Chief Justice of the Montana Supreme Court. And David, I'm with you. I would love to see Judge Dan Wilson maybe be a federal judge here one day soon, potentially, if not a Supreme Court candidate again down the road to build on what he started with this time around. But unfortunately, Betty Gary, she's a radical leftist. She had ACLU and Planned Parenthood money funneled into her campaign. She got across the finish line. And I think people, you know, like voting for female candidates. I think female candidates perform very well in Montana.
Yeah, they do. Here's the thing. I'm actually a true believer in constitutional jurisprudence by justices in the courts. And so when I genuinely look at a judge or a justice, I'm not looking at them through a political lens or a partisan. I'm looking at them through a jurisprudential lens. And are they interpreting the Constitution in an originalist fashion? Or do they view the Constitution as a living document? Those are really the kind of the two different, you know, views of jurisprudence and constitutional decision making. So for me, it genuinely isn't like, oh, is the court a Republican or a Democrat court? Is it a right or a left court? To me, it's, is this an originalist constitutionalist court, or is this an activist court that believes in a living Constitution? I think the answer to that caller's question is I don't think we won one seat out of seven. That doesn't make a court an originalist court when you've got one out of seven that are originalists.
Now, what could get very interesting here, though, is will the left-wing mob on the Montana Supreme Court or the activist court, will they continue with this lawfare against Attorney General Austin Knutson, or like like the Jack Smith nonsense and the federal DOJ dropping all this lawfare against Trump, will the Montana Supreme Court say, okay, end this lawfare against A.G. Knudsen? What gets interesting, though, is do they, A, drop it all together, or B, do they allow it to move forward? And does the sitting Chief Justice Mike McGrath appoint a bunch of his Democrat buddies to be on that panel to help them make the decision? Or does he defer to the incoming Chief Justice Corey Swanson to decide who that panel would be, et cetera, et cetera? My question, that'll get very interesting, won't it?
It will. And frankly, my question is if they actually take away his law license for 90 days, which is what they're asking to do. They're trying to strip him of his law license, which is how he provides for his family. Austin Knudsen spent a lot of time and money getting his law license, and that's how he provides an income for his family. And they're trying to take it away from him.
It's crazy. Harv in Dillon, great guy, by the way. Harv in Dillon sent us a message on the Montana Talks app. Who is going to reimburse Trump for the Jack Smith fiasco? Great question, Harv. Yeah, look at all the money he had to spend defending himself in the midst of the campaign of all that nonsense. Great question. Let's go next to the phone lines. We got Mike in Bozeman. Mike, what's going on?
I don't know if there is the news around the U.S. Segment that comes on all of the stations around Montana in the morning, but here on KMMS, there was commentary on there already being put forward by two different entities that are already starting to destroy Trump. One was some academic in somewhere here in this country who's claiming that we're going to have a constitutional crisis because Trump is mentally ill. And then they were getting commentary about Trump from around the world, and some guy back in the Netherlands was saying that Trump was a lunatic. And it's all starting again. It's like termites. It's like termites in a building.
Yeah, here they go again. They can't resist. There's some of the resist movement that just can't resist coming back with their Trump derangement syndrome, their constant efforts to undermine Trump. No, they're going to be back. We know it. The fake news media, just like Tamara and Billings pointed out, they're going to go back. They're going to pretend to be moderate, and they're going to come with the same biased.
We had an earlier caller that I think was right, which is they're not going to be as successful this time as they were last time.
Yeah, they've been exposed.
In the time it takes us to say we're using Folgers instant coffee, seamlessly blended with water and ice, a splash of whatever kind of milk is your thing, and gotta get that caramel drizzle, all to make a toasty, roasty caramel iced coffee. You could be enjoying it every damn sip of it. Damn right, it's Folgers Instant.
Fox News commentary.
For better or worse, American elections will never be the same again. Early voting is the new way for tens of millions of Americans. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
It is time to take the quiz.
5 days a week, it's five questions in less than 5 minutes. We ask people on the streets of New York City to play along. Let's see how you do.
Including the pre-Super Bowl era, what NFL franchise has won the most NFL championships?
I'm going to say the Cowboys.
Good guess. I always say the Packers.
How'd you do? Exactly. Things get tougher, so hang on.
Make sure you take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox. Thank you for taking the quiz. Before Election Day, more than 78 million ballots were already cast in 47 states plus D.C. Believe it or not, the early vote totals are actually down from 2020, when more than 110 million Americans voted early in person or via mail. That doesn't mean early voting is decreasing in popularity, though, because remember, 2020 was a COVID year, and some folks were scared to go outside. The early vote totals in 2024 are indicative of changing sentiments, especially among Republican voters who have been hesitant to partake in the new voting options. North Carolina and Georgia both saw high early vote turnout this year. In Georgia, the numbers even surpassed 2020 levels. In four of the seven swing states, data indicates Republican voters made up a larger share of the pre-election vote than they did in 2020. This is significant, and this attitude shift will no doubt impact future elections. Election season rather than election day is likely the new way. I'm Tommy Lahren.
Sometimes the fight takes a while, Vice President Harris told supporters after conceding defeat to President-elect Donald Trump.
This is not a time to throw up our hands. This is a time to roll up our sleeves.
Harris spoke from Howard University, her alma mater, where she had hoped to deliver a victory speech Tuesday night. Instead, she says it's time for a peaceful transfer of power.
In our nation, we owe loyalty not to a president or a party, but to the Constitution of the United States.
Harris called President-elect Trump to congratulate him. President Biden did as well. The campaign spokesman says President-elect Trump acknowledged Vice President Harris on her strength, professionalism, and tenacity throughout the campaign and agreed on the importance of unifying the country. Jared.
Anymore. Go check it out now. Just click over to crystalflesh.com.
Brought to you from the Hot Spring Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, David, you got something to share. We got a lot of callers on the phone line, but hey, you're so gracious to free up your time. What's on your mind, David?
Well, one big takeaway that I had from the election, and some of your callers have kind of, you know, hinted at this earlier throughout the morning, but I think these election results show a massive, massive change in the media landscape and what's important for media in this country. And it's something that I'm interested in since I do lives. I do live content online, and I've been doing that for a decade. You know, I had over 1,000 unique viewers on my Twitch stream the night before. There was a story about Donald Trump. Donald Trump specifically said, I need to do a podcast circuit. He had advisors go and create a list of podcasts that he should go on for the campaign. And then they came and they said, Mr. President, we have a list of podcasts you should go on. And he said, hey, have you checked with Barron? You need to clear that with Barron. And so then they went and they cleared it with Barron. And then Donald Trump went on Theo Vaughn and all these big podcasts and stuff. And, of course, you know, John Tester used to be able to win elections in the state without ever coming on shows like this, without ever talking to the breakfast. And so I think the fact that John Tester lost, despite him basically running the same campaign he's always run, despite the media being totally in the bag for him, the New York Times talking about this show, how influential it is, you know, and then the online media, the online podcasting space. I think the big takeaway from this is that Kamala Harris and John Tester can no longer win elections by just relying on the mainstream media carrying their water. The American people are too informed. We're listening to shows like this. We're paying attention to people online that are smart. That is wonderful, wonderful news.
Yeah, well said. Man, I've got like 4 pages of messages that have come in on our Montana Talks app here. I should just, one of my web stories for our website later today should just be, here's all the messages I got in the last 24
hours.
Here you go. Here you go. Let's see. Who do we got? Clint in Bozeman next up on the phone lines. Clint, what's on your mind? Good to hear from you.
Well, what's on my mind today is you two fellas believe in the federal constitution, don't you?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Do you believe in the Ten Amendments?
Yes, and I think I know where you're going with this one, but yeah, go ahead. What's your comment, since we're short on time?
My comment is this. The Ten Amendments were put in there to protect the people from the government. And the government can do what they want, but they can't supersede the Ten Amendments. And what's happened today, the government has superseded the Ten Amendments, and the Fourth Amendment is the one I'm talking about, and I'm not going to repeat it. I'll let the people look for themselves. But if you read Madison's notes, you got a lawyer there in there, read his notes, and then decide about the abortion issue.
Yeah, I know we've had that conversation before, but frankly, I still think that our Constitution protects life. It protects your life. It protects life. Linda in Billings, we're short on time. Sorry, Clint, we keep it going. But Linda in Billings, I want to hear from you as well. Thanks for the call.
Hey, I'm kind of curious. Can we overturn that, CI-128?
Well, I mean, I think Rob Nadelson, that's what he suggested when he joined us on this very show, is that they did more than one thing with this initiative, and you can't do more than one thing with a constitutional initiative. So David, I think the short answer to your question is we should be able to, but will we be able to? That's the real question.
Well, I think there's that piece, and then frankly, I don't know why that should have been litigated before it got onto the ballot. I thought it kind of was, maybe. But there also isn't there like a federal due process argument that basically says, like, can't we go to federal court and say, look, this thing was so vaguely written and vague and ambiguous, you can't enforce laws against people that are vague and ambiguous under the due process clause, so why should you be able to pass them?
If I'm not mistaken, I think there's also a conflict between parents' rights at the federal level and then the stripping away
exactly.
of parents' rights here.
That's a great point.
So that may be another. That may give us a federal challenge to this.
Which
deal.
Would be way better off in federal court.
Way better off in federal court. David Noble, man, always awesome having you on the show. You want to stick around for the 8 o'clock hour? You got.
I
go
do.
Over.
I got an 8:15. So
I hear you. Well, good to see you as always. Thanks for your insight. Okay, Tim Sheehy coming up next hour.
Did you receive a call or message that mentioned Social Security and demanded immediate action? Did the caller know your Social Security number or other personal information and tell you that your Social Security number had been used in connection with a crime? Did you feel worried that your Social Security number might be suspended, your bank account might be frozen or seized, or you could be arrested? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, demand your personal information or instant payment, email or text you pictures or documents, or use a real government official's name to gain your trust. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Do not be fooled. Hang up. Ignore them. Report this criminal activity to the Social Security Administration Office of the Inspector General at oig.ssa.gov.
Introduced at U.S. taxpayer expense.